So, let's start with the last topic of the course. I'm starting today, and on Tuesday I will show an application to linear programming. Okay? You know how to solve linear programming through the simplex algorithms, but actually the most modern codes do not use generally the simplex algorithm, but algorithms which are based on the idea I'm going to show you. So, to apply this penalization technique, it is customary to consider problems where you just have inequality constraints. So, the feasible region is described through inequalities only. Okay? And it is not possible to exploit this technique splitting an equality into a pair of inequalities. And I will explain you in a minute why. We need two basic assumptions. Okay? We need two assumptions. Requires this set, this set, known also as the free feasible region, to be non-empty. So we want to consider the following such that all inequalities are satisfied free. Okay? We want this set to be non-empty. Somehow this is a slender condition. Okay? Notice that since the GI are a continuous function, if they are negative in a point, they are negative in a neighborhood of the point, in a both center in the point. So this is an open set. It is made by all points which are in the interior of the feasible region. And this is one of the most relevant features, the feature that makes us consider the problem we are going to introduce as if they were unconstrained problems. And the second assumption is that each point which is feasible, but not belongs to capital X0, can be arbitrarily approximated by a sequence of points that belongs to X capital 0. And you summarize this in this with this expression. For each x which belongs to x but not to x0, for each positive epsilon, there exists an x epsilon in capital X0 such that its distance from x is less or equal than epsilon. So, let's take a feasible region here, capital X, in green I'm trying to identify X0, which is X except the boundary. Each point on the boundary satisfies one of the inequalities as an equality, and I can approximate, I can find the sequence of points in the interior, let's say along this segment, which are arbitrarily close to the point. Okay, so what I want is that if a point is not in the interior, I can approximate it arbitrarily with a point which is in the interior. What situation I'm not liking? I'm not liking situation like this one, for instance. Okay, suppose the visible region is this, it looks like an apple, okay, with colgambo. Okay, the set x0 is given by here, the interior of the ball. This point here, for instance, cannot be approached by interior points, okay? Because no matter how I choose interior points, I remain inside here. There's no way I can go there. Okay. So points which are not in the interior have to be approximated by points which are in the interior. You can prove pretty easily that if G, the function gi are convex, plus condition 1-4, so the interior is not empty, then assumption 2 is satisfied as well. Okay? So if my constraining functions are convex, then assumption 2 is satisfied whenever assumption 1 is satisfied. Okay? So in the convex case there is no problem. Clearly this is not a non-convex case, okay? Because take this point here, take this point here, this segment is not inside the physical region. The way to prove this, I'm not going to show you, is exactly this way. Okay. Take a point in the interior, then you have that all the segments which unite x and the point in the interior is feasible. Okay? Is in the region by convexity of the region. And then I can show you that all the segments except x is in the interior of the region. It is in capital X. Okay. So we are happy when constraining functions are convex, we are happy. Which is the basic idea? The basic idea is that I want to solve an unconstrained problem keeping feasible solutions. Well, one thing I can imagine is to put some kind of barrier on the border. Okay? I can modify the objective function in such a way that as I'm approaching the border, the objective function blows out to plus infinity. Okay? Somehow I'm trying to build a wall close to the border of the physical region in such a way that there is no minimum point. Okay, I want to modify the visible region. Here I have the objective function. I modify it in such a way that, oops, it grows to plus infinity as I'm approaching the board. And in fact, this is the reason why you get the name barrier method. A barrier function for capital X is a function b from x capital x0 into R, let's say continuous, such that if I have a sequence xk of points in capital X0, such that XK converge to some X bar which belongs, which does not belong to the interior, then B of XK goes to plus infinity as K goes to plus infinity. Okay. So a barrier is a function that at an approach to the border of the region, it blows up to infinity. On your lecture notes, you also find this requirement that the function is greater or equal than zero. Please erase it because it is not needed. And indeed, one of the two functions I'm going to show you does not satisfy. How can I build the barrier function? There are two. One is greater or equal than zero, and the other one is not. The first one is the inverse barrier, and it is done this way. Minus the sum all over the constraint of 1 over gi of x. Okay? So, remember that the function is necessarily defined only in the interior of the physical region. So, this number is non-zero. Okay? The denominator here is non-zero. It is negative, so the minus in front becomes positive. And as gi of x goes to zero, this blows up to infinity. Okay? Quando questo denominatore va a zero, funziona la stessa. Okay? So, if xk is approaching a point on the border, this means that gi at x bar is zero for some I. So one of these terms, as xk is going to x bar, one of these terms is going to zero, so 1 over 0 is going to infinity. Okay? And the other one, which is the most used one, is the logarithmic barrier. Which is done this way. It is minus the sum over all the constraints of the logarithm of minus gi. Okay, so so minus gi is greater or equal than zero, so it is well defined. And as gi goes to zero, the logarithm goes to minus infinity, with a minus in front of it, it goes to plus infinity. Okay? So if one of these terms is approaching zero, then this blows up to plus infinity. Okay? Notice that the logarithmic barrier is not necessarily greater or equal than zero, because if g in a point is smaller than minus 1, this is greater than 1, so the logarithm is positive, with the minus in front, it is negative. So the inverse barrier is always greater or equal than 0, the logarithmic barrier it is not. In some books you might find also that, okay, we want it to be positive, then we replace this with this value in such a way that this is always less or equal than 1, and so that this is negative and with a minus in front it is positive, but it is not used actually. Okay? The nice one is this one, and I hope to explain you why at the end of the lecture or on Tuesday.
So, what? Okay, then I give you a remark which you can prove by your own. If the function gi's are all convex, then both the inverse and the logarithmic variable are convex functions. Okay? So, if my functions are convex, I can build a convex barrier. Okay? What is the basic idea of a method? The basic idea of a method is saying, rather than minimizing x on the free space, let's minimize x plus epsilon times the barrier in the interior of the physical region, in capital X. Okay? And then, let's say, let's take a sequence xk, and then let's consider xk, so sorry, xk, epsilon k that goes to zero. Okay? So the basic method would be find an xk which minimizes this function. The objective function plus a penalization term or a barrier coefficient times a barrier function. Okay. Why this should be better than solving the original problem? Well, the feasible region is an open set. Okay? The function grows to plus infinity as I'm approaching the board of the region. Minimizing. If you minimize a function over an open set, it is like to optimize without constraints, because remember optimality condition. If a point is in the interior of the feasible region, and it is a minimum point, then the gradient has to be zero. Okay? Because optimality condition read this way, the scalar product of the gradient of f in the point has to, or the objective function, has to be greater or equal than zero for all directions in the tangent form. Okay? But if x bar is an interior point of the physical region, the tangent form is the full space, and so this condition becomes gradient equal to zero. Okay? If you check your notes or your lecture notes on optimality condition, you find this remark. So, minimizing a function over an open set, it amounts to find stationary points of the objective function. So what we want to find is points for which the gradient of f plus epsilon times d is equal to zero. Sorry, I should also have told you that since we want to to have the gradient of the barrier, rather than saying that it is simply continuous, we could say that it is differentiable. Okay, so it is more than continuous. Okay, we know that algorithms for unconstrained optimization find stationary points. Okay? So I can think of applying an algorithm for unconstrained optimization. Okay? I can start from a point in the feasible region, I apply, for instance, the gradient method, and I'm likely to end up in a point at which the gradient is zero. What may go wrong? Well, the only thing that may go wrong is that I get outside the feasible region. Okay? This is not likely because you have a barrier. Okay? you have this barrier, and so as you are approaching the border of the physical region, the function goes to plus infinity. So if I'm starting from the interior of the region, and I'm approaching the border, the function goes up, and does not go down. Okay? It's unlikely to have the same direction. But in case, notice that these barrier functions are satisfied also outside the physical region. Okay? The only points where they are not satisfied is where one of the constraints is zero. Okay? If these are non-zero but they are positive, these functions are well-defined all the same. Okay? So it may happen that I take a gradient step, okay, a step along minus the gradient, I end up outside the region, and I may end up in good points where, because the barrier function is defined, and maybe it's going also to take small values, so I have to take care that the step, it is not enough to take a step which satisfies, for instance, the Wolf conditions, okay? I need to check also that the step is small enough to remain inside the physical region. Okay, so I can apply the methods for unconstrained optimization, taking care that the step size is small enough to remain inside the physical region. Also, I told you that if GI are convex, the barrier is convex. If also F is convex, I'm summing convex function, and so this function is convex. So if I start from a convex problem, then I end up with a convex problem also here. And so when I take the stationary points, I'm taking actually minima. I'm showing you an example, very good example.
On Tuesday, I will show you examples also in the video.
Okay.
It's the very same example I showed you in the beginning. Let's take T.
No, let's want to, okay,
this time, not exactly the same. I want to minimize T such that T is greater or equal than 1.
Very stupid problem. Okay, so
let's write it as an equality. 1 minus t is less or equal than 0. Okay, so this is g of t.
Let's take the penalization approach, and let's use where is it? And let's use which kind of barrier? Let's take the logarithmic barrier, okay? So, I want to minimize t plus epsilon times, and now I take the logarithmic barrier, so I must take minus the log, so here is minus the logarithm of minus g, so t minus 1, and I want to minimize over x0, and x0 is the where 1 minus t is smaller than 0, or equivalently t is greater than 1. So this is the problem. We know that a minimum point must,
so this is, let's call this q epsilon t. We want to take its gradient, it's a function of one variable, so this is actually the classical derivative.
The classical derivative, it is,
so the derivative of t is 1, derivative of the logarithm is 1 over the argument. So, minus epsilon divided 1 minus t minus 1
times
the derivative of the argument. The derivative of the argument is 1. So this is the derivative. So this gradient is zero if and only if, let's make the computation, if and only if t minus 1 minus epsilon is equal to 0. If and only if t is equal to 1 plus epsilon. Okay? Also, this function is convex, actually it is linear, this function is convex. Actually, it is affine. So this function is convex. So we end up with not only a stationary point, but this is actually the minimum point. Okay, the unique minimum point of that function. Okay. So my xk would be 1 plus epsilon k. And as epsilon k goes to 0, it goes to 1, which is the solution of the optimal point. So what I'm doing here is that I'm changing the function in such a, so the objective function should be done this way. This is the objective function of the original problem. Okay? Adding the barrier, I'm doing something like this. So the interior part of the feasible region is where the points are agreed with this is 1, so this is the feasible region. Okay? What I'm doing, adding over here, is that my function now will be done this way. Okay? And this point will be 1 plus epsilon. Okay? And as epsilon is going to 0, this barrier is going to become steeper and steeper. Notice that here I'm changing the objective function also in the feasible region. It is no longer this line. Okay? I can give you an exercise. Try to do the same in two variables for this problem. You have the details on my lecture notes, so if you are in trouble, you can use them. You want to minimize x1 squared plus x2 squared, and we multiply the sum by 1/2. Just to have simpler derivatives, and you ask x1 to be greater or equal than 2. Okay, so that the feasible region in R2 this is x1 equals 2 is this half plane. Okay. So I try to apply the same technique with the logarithmic barrier, so that when you consider the problem, you want to minimize 1/2 x1 squared plus 1/2 x2 squared minus epsilon, the logarithm of x1 minus 2, where x1 is greater than 2. Okay. This half plane accepts the border line.
Do the computation. You do the computation and you can show that the optimal solution on this
will be, let's say, x epsilon, which is 1 plus...
No, sorry, not 1. It is, let's say... Oh, yes.
1 plus the square root of 1 plus epsilon is 0. As epsilon goes to 0, this goes to 2,0.
Okay.
And indeed, it is obvious that 2,0 is the optimal solution of the original problem, because I want this to be as small as possible. I have not x2 in the constraint, so I can take x2 equal to 0. And then I want also x1 to be as small as possible, and but since it is greater or equal than 2, the best thing that I can do is to take x1 equal to 2. So the optimal solution here is 2,0.
Okay. Also, exercise.
Compute also the Lagrange multipliers rule. Try to compute the multipliers
in the KKT condition, and you will find,
so we have just a unique constraint, you just have a unique multiplier corresponding to the unique inequality constraint.
Show
that the multiplier corresponding to the optimal solution 2,0 is
2. Okay? You write down the multipliers rule and you compute the multiplier corresponding to 2,0. Okay? It's all here. Okay. You have in front. Well, the point is the following. The real point is the following. In this example, as the barrier term here goes to 0, the solution of this problem is actually going to the solution of the original problem. Okay? This is true in general. Okay, so now I will write a statement, but I will not give you the proof. Okay? This is true in general.
Let's suppose
there's one assumption to make only, beyond this one we have to get the approach. The only unique assumption is that minima exists. Okay? If the minima of these problems exist, then n cluster point of the sequence is a global minimum point of the original problem. Notice a couple of things. First of all, here I'm saying that xk is a minimum point in the sense that it is a global minimum point. Okay. So I need to solve this problem to global optimality. And I can do it efficiently only if this is a convex problem. Okay. And also the result that I get is pretty strong,
because I get that we are dealing with that we are getting
a global minimum point. But if the feasible region capital X is compact, this sequence lies in its interior, so it is a sequence in a compact set, and a cluster point exists. Okay? If the feasible region is not bounded, is not a compact set,
I still have this result and cluster point.
But it may happen, as in many results we have seen earlier, that there is no cluster point. Okay, so that the result is void, because as I tell you, any cluster point is a global minimum. But if there is none, the result is telling you nothing interesting. There is a situation in which cluster points exist even if the feasible region is not compact. And it happens for a class of convex groups. So let me jump from the example. So I need a couple of not only convex problem, but I also have to choose a particular variable. Okay. The assumption I need are the following. This is a theorem. This is a theorem as well. So suppose the following rule. The objective function f and the constraining function gi are all convex. Then also suppose that the set of minimum points of the original problem the set of minima of f over capital F is non-empty and compact. Then consider this type of method with the logarithmic variable. Then you can prove two things. The first thing is that xk, even if capital X is not bounded, has at least a cluster point. So that this theorem is actually useful. Okay. Notice also that since all the functions are convex, these are convex problems, and so local and global minima are the same thing, so there is not also the trouble to compute the global minima, because local minima are global in this case. The second property is the following. The values of f at xk converge to the optimal value of the problem. And also the value of the values of xk of the objective function plus the variable go to the optimal value of the problem.
There are two more things I want to show you.
One is actually
almost the proof of this. No, sorry, the proof of this, which you don't have on.
Let me see if I can do it for you. Yes.
We have the tools. Yeah, we have the tools to prove that. Okay. I'm going to prove it. Not for the sake of completeness, but because it gives information. It gives information on the problem. Let's compute, so my point is the following. Xk minimizes this function here, okay, where we take the logarithmic barrier. Okay? So the grade of x plus epsilon k times the logarithmic barrier, so minus the sum all over I of the logarithm of minus gi in this case is zero. Okay? And I want to compute this gradient. This gradient is the gradient of f. And then I have to take the gradient of each one of these terms. Okay? This is the composition of gi with the logarithm. Okay, so here I have minus x minus. And then I have the sum. Okay, I take the derivative, so the real chain rule. Okay. I take the gradient of the composition. I take the derivative of the logarithm, and I compute it in this point. The derivative of the logarithm is 1 over the argument, so the derivative is 1 over minus gi xk times the gradient of the algorithm. The gradient of the algorithm is minus the gradient is. So is minus the gradient of gi in x case. Okay? Here we have a number of minus. Minus, minus, so they cancel. Here there is. You have two minus, so they cancel. Okay? And here I am left with a minus. Please, allow me to make it this way. Plus and minus here. Okay, so minus here. Or if we like it best, we could put it below here. Okay? We have three minus, just one remains. Notice, this is very interesting. Gradient of f plus the sum of the over constraints of some numbers times the gradient of gi. This is the multipliers rule, where these are the multipliers. Let me call them lambda I epsilon k. Are they positive? Because to satisfy the multiplier rule, since these are inequality constraints, they must be greater or equal than zero. Xk belongs to capital X0. Okay? So it belongs to the interior of the physical region, so Gi at Xk is negative. With a minus it is positive, epsilon k is positive, so these are positive. Okay. So, the solution of this problem satisfies the multipliers rule for the original problem with these multipliers. One remark, one unlikely remark, to satisfy the KKT condition you have the multipliers rule, feasibility, you have feasibility because Xk belongs to capital X0 and so it belongs to capital X. Multipliers have to be greater or equal to zero, and then you must have complementarity slackness. Okay? You must have that lambda I gi xk is equal to zero. So, let's consider our multipliers. Do they satisfy the Schlesinger condition? Well, unfortunately, you take this and this. Multipliers are done this way, this is minus epsilon, which is not zero. Okay. Everything is satisfied except complementarity slackness. And this gives rise to the topic I will show you on Tuesday in the very last lectures. Somehow, complementarity slackness is one of the hard parts in the KKT condition. Here I'm saying, I'm not satisfying them exactly, I'm satisfying them with this epsilon k approximation. Okay? So, one basic idea to solve the KKT system, the KKT system is this one. So, let's write it for inequality constraints. Multipliers rule feasibility for X solve this system. Okay? One way to do this, okay, first here this inequality if I add black variables xi can be written this way if with black variables xi which are greater or equal to zero. Okay? And then notice that gi is equal to minus xi, so I can put minus xi, but is equal to zero, so minus x. No, let's keep. Okay. So this is a KKT system for our problem. I would like to find x lambda i and xi such that this system is satisfied. Okay? Here what we have? We have this stuff, but with epsilon rather than zero. I'm approximating the complementarity class. And this is negative. So this should be negative, so with this minus I can write it this way. So these are approximate. Our Barrier method, the method I described you, satisfies this condition. Okay? So it gives an idea to primal dual method. These are system of equalities, is a system of equations, plus non-negative constraints. Okay? One idea is solve this system as k goes to zero. No, as epsilon goes to zero. Okay, try to solve it. So you try to solve this for some epsilon, you make some step of a method and then you update epsilon. So on Tuesday I will show you this for linear programming. Okay, so that these functions have a nice shape. I will show you just the basic idea. So the methods which solve this system are called primal dual, because for instance linear programming I've shown you that the multipliers are the variables of the dual problem. Interior point methods. Okay. So, I'm explaining you the name. Barrier method comes from the fact that we are using barrier. Interior point method coming from the fact that we build a sequence of points which lie in the interior of the physical room. Okay? And penalization comes from the fact that we are penalizing the objective function in such a way that we build a barrier around the border. I wanted to prove you this, so I'm not going to do it now, I'm not going to do it on Tuesday. I just give you the nice result that comes. To prove this, you actually prove the following, which is very, very nice and very interesting. You prove that f of xk, well, it is a feasible variable, so it is greater or equal than the optimal value. Okay? Xk is feasible. But it is also less or equal, and this is what I wanted to prove you, of x star, the optimal value, plus m times, where m is the number of constraints, epsilon k. So as epsilon k goes to zero, this value goes to the optimal. But this is nice, because it's telling you how far you are from the optimal value. Okay? And the proof is not difficult. We have the tools, since this is minimizing the barrier, since this is the minimum of that, if you fix the multiplier, it is a minimum of the Lagrangian, you make some computation, you exploit the fact that the multiplier has this shape, and you end up with this inequality. Okay. But this is telling you that your distance from the optimal values is m times the barrier parameter. So, as the barrier parameter goes to zero, you have a convergence. Okay. And this is useful because you can apply this method, and when you stop, you know how far you are from optimality. This gives you a bound on how far you are from optimality. So, on Tuesday we are going to do, let's say, not full 2 hours, an hour and a bit, and I will show you the form of this system for linear problems,
I give you an idea of how it can be solved, just an idea, and then I show you some examples on the computer.